And welcome back. We have talked about early childhood education and development before on this program. Today, in a somewhat different context, we'll look at the importance of parents in the early education of children. 85% of children's brains developed before they ever begin their formal education. The role of parents in nurturing the learning experience is clearly important. Hence, the Parents as Teachers organization, a homegrown program with an international reach. Parents as Teachers is headquartered in St. Louis, serves more than 240,000 children annually in all 50 states, and operates in six other countries. Parents as Teachers is our subject this segment. With me in studio, Scott Hippert, President and CEO of Parents as Teachers. Donna Hunt O'Brien is the Director of Training, Curriculum, and Program Innovations with the organization. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Don.
You know, we've done a number of programs recently on this subject, and I'm so struck by the importance, and we'll start with you, the importance of early education in kids. It is absolutely critical, isn't it?
Well, it is critical, Don. As you mentioned, 85% of the human brain physically is formed before we ever reach the age of five. And every single experience a young child, a baby has, impacts the physical formation of the brain, how the brain is wired. So every experience, every word, every touch, every environment. And if we want children to be fully prepared, and both from an intellectual perspective but also from a social and emotional standpoint, we need to make sure that those environments are nurturing, in those very early years, are nurturing. They're filled with very simple learning experiences that nurtures the brain so that it is formed in a way, wired together, just like a computer, wired together in a way that's going to function effectively for the rest of their lives.
Don, is there a basic format for doing that?
The basic one is a strong attachment to one primary caregiver in their life. That can be a parent or someone else. But without a strong attachment, the brain isn't ready to receive all the learning. So that is the basis. It's got to be there. And that's through positive parent-child or caregiver-child interactions.
You know, most of us parent the way that we were parented. That's the only really resource we have for learning how to do it. And, you know, it seems like there's a generational component here. If you weren't parented particularly well, then you're not going to be necessarily a good parent in this regard. How do you train parents who maybe fall into this category?
So, I think what's really interesting about the journey that parents are on is when they are faced with a situation with their child, they remember how they were treated possibly, but then they also subconsciously act out possibly the parenting that they received. And part of Parents as Teachers' role is to help parents a little bit get in touch with that awareness of how were they parented and what are their current values? Is that what they want for their family? And once they've established those values, work with them to consider what are the positive parenting practices that will support those values.
Scott, how does Parents as Teachers do that?
Well, the way we do that is by making available to every parent a trained, what we call a parent educator. And that parent educator is someone who is a professional who is trained by our National Center right here in St. Louis. And in Missouri, Parents as Teachers operates in every single school district across this state, so 500-plus Parents as Teachers programs. So young parents in those school districts can contact their local school district offices and say, beginning at birth or prenatally, and say, I would like to have a parent educator coming to my home to help me as a parent understand the basic tenets of parenting, to understand what I can do to help nurture and help my child be ready for kindergarten. So that parent educator forms a personal relationship with those parents, will visit with them on a monthly basis or even every couple of weeks if necessary to help them do the right job, do the right type of parenting with their children.
Donna, I'm not quite sure how Parents as Teachers works with the schools, however. I mean, how does that work?
So, as Scott mentioned, in Missouri, Parents as Teachers is primarily offered through school districts. It's also offered through hospital settings and health departments, faith-based organizations around the United States. But specifically in Missouri, Parents as Teachers programs have done a lovely job of interacting and connecting with schools through referring families to preschool programs. The bottom line is that when you're visiting with a family, If they have a second grader and a three-year-old, they've been to three, but they haven't been to second grade. And so they're going to continue to ask you about questions about that. So parent educators need to be informed about the schools that their families are entering and working with that school to help support the family, even receiving information from teachers with parent permission and supporting them in their homes early on.
You had mentioned, Scott, that there is a prenatal component to this. Mm-hmm. Now, that is really early education in my book. How does that work?
Well, it works under the same premise. When as soon as a family knows they're going to be having a baby soon, it would be the perfect time to contact in Missouri, to contact their local school district, and to begin developing their parenting skills early on. An example, this is up in Wisconsin, of a program I visited just a few months ago. In that community, this is in the St. Croix Valley of Wisconsin, parent educators begin meeting with young parents during pregnancy, and that parent educator will actually go with mom and dad, if possible, to prenatal classes at the hospital. And when that child is born, the parent educator goes to the hospital to meet with the parents and welcomes them and schedules their first home visit. And so that relationship begins early on during pregnancy. It continues after the child is born, and if that family wishes it, that parent educator will develop a relationship and stay with that family all the way up until that child enters kindergarten.
And how is the parent educator trained?
So we offer, first of all, we have a cadre of national trainers that are certified by us at Parents as Teachers, and they attend a week-long core training that supports them in our philosophies about working with families and to empower them and to respect their value system. They also are supported by a very vast curricula that includes everything from resources to improve their knowledge about child development, positive parenting practices, family well-being, as well as parent handouts and resources that go directly to the family. And in that prenatal time, what you're really focusing on are healthy practices and routines, because we know that part of getting kids ready for school is their health, their sleep, their nutrition, and all of those also impact the brain development that Scott was pointing out. So if you can set some positive parenting practices early in pregnancy, they tend to play out after the baby's born.
The health component, Scott, is terrifically important. Again, there have been studies here in St. Louis, the For the Sake of All study, for instance, indicating the correlation between health and success later on. But that's, it's difficult to teach in many ways, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that it's difficult to teach, but it's much better to experience it. And so health has become an increasingly important component of the work of Parents as Teachers, and for that matter, all home visiting programs. In fact, Parents as Teachers is one of the four large national evidence-based models that is part of President Obama's federal home visiting program. And health is a key component of that. So one of the things that our parent educators do is make sure that children are screened for any health problems they may have early on. They're screened for developmental delays. And obviously, it's much more effective and a whole lot less expensive to address those developmental delays early on before those children get into school. So, what we know happens is if we can identify those delays early on and help address them, what we're going to see when we get into school is those children most likely not needing special education, which of course costs a great deal. Now, you talk about health in your previous interview, or you were interviewing former Superintendent Wright from Ferguson Florissant. And Ferguson Florissant School District is actually where Parents as Teachers began 31 years ago. And one of the reasons was there was this remarkable school teacher, a kindergarten teacher by the name of Mildred Winter. And Mildred increasingly saw children coming into her kindergarten classroom that were not healthy, that had dental problems, that had hearing problems, children coming in that didn't know how to engage with the other children in the classroom or to pay attention to the teacher, a whole variety of issues. But health was a key component of that. And Mildred went to her superintendent. I don't believe it was Superintendent Wright. I think he was gone from there by then, and said, we have to do something about this. We have to reach out to these young parents as early as possible, at birth if possible. And we need to mentor them and be with them and have a relationship with them, and then make sure we engage those parents in their children's education once that child enters into kindergarten. So, you know, for 31 years, Parents as Teachers has been a bedrock of Missouri's early childhood education system. And the stories we hear are, in some cases, will make you smile and laugh, and other cases will make you cry. But it's just remarkable the impact that these school-based Parents as Teachers programs have had on children all across the state over the past 31 years.
Well, Donna, give me one of those stories. Let's put a smile on folks' faces. You know, how do you measure success? And I guess
so. A health-related story that I can share is a lot around vision screening. And one of the things we do as parent educators is a vision check. And under the components that Scott's mentioned, we've said there's visits with families in their homes, there's groups that bring them together, there's screening, and then there's support and connection to resources. And this particular parent educator was doing just what she was supposed to be doing, taking a look at an infant that was around 8 months old, and his eyes weren't working together very well. And what we know about that alignment, sometimes in families it's been called lazy eye, and a family might say, oh, Uncle Joe has that, you know, and the pediatrician wasn't as focused on it maybe as they should have been, or maybe they hadn't been to a well visit in quite a while. And this parent educator noticed it, recognized from her training that past 5 months, this is a problem. And if the eyes are not aligned, the right pathways for sight will not form in the brain. And essentially a child will not be able to see, even if the eyes are healthy. She convinced this parent by helping them do their own check, lights shining in the same place in the eyes, things like that, taking a photo of their child and looking at alignment, convinced that parent to go beyond their physician and request more. And because of that, the child received the right intervention and was able to see. So we get stories like that all the time.
You know, it's easy to measure success that way. When you're dealing with a physical issue, you can see the improvement and all the rest of it. But on the intellectual side, it's very difficult to measure, is it not? I mean, you work with a child ages 0 through 5.
Right.
You don't know in grade 7,
sure,
you know, how successful.
Well, there have been a number of school districts in Missouri that have tracked children and their ability to score on MAP tests, their reading levels at third grade. And they've looked at the kids that were in Parents as Teachers and that were not. And there are significant advances for these children who families have participated. You know, so looking at what that is, we also are assessing development along the way. We're monitoring development along the way. And we're supporting parents with the best ways to encourage it. We could pull from some of our stats to share what those differences are. I don't know if you wanted to share any of those.
Well, you know, I can cite statistics from, again, going back to where we were founded, Ferguson Florissant, where children who in third and sixth grade, whose parents participated in Parents as Teachers, are doing significantly better in math and science and reading. And I can cite a program in the Tucson, Arizona area where children whose parents were participating in PAT, those children are doing their attendance rates are 2/3 higher than their peers, and their suspension rates in sixth grade are 2/3 lower. Mm-hmm. So we know we're having a tremendous impact.
Yeah, we have a couple of responses from people who are listening to the program, and a call. I'd like to take the call first, and then take some of the emails and tweets that we have. Michelle is joining us from St. Louis. Michelle, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Don. I love your program.
Thank you.
I love the Parents as Teachers program. I worked for it, was paid $10 an hour, as were most of the people who worked for this Parents as Teachers program, knew Mildred Winner. The Parents as Teachers program is a volunteer program for St. Louis City, and it's in St. Louis City. I know it's national and international. But every family that we worked with, or many of them were not African American or Black. The ones that were in the program, as soon as their kids turned 3, they moved out of the St. Louis City public schools to be in a better school district. And until we change our St. Louis City public schools, or maybe we could not make Parents as Teachers volunteer. Why? It is the best program I know of. I love the program, and it needs to be mandatory for St. Louis City public schools. We have the people who want to do it, and I would go recruiting. I knocked on people's doors in the city, and they would turn their door away and look at me like I had 2 heads because I was white. And I'm not trying to make this a black-white issue at all. But if the St. Louis City is going to survive, it needs to be education, and it's on the program, on Don Marsh's program, every day.
All right, Michelle, thank you so much for the call. I think Donna wants to respond. As a matter of fact, I know she does.
Michelle, I hope that I trained you at one point. I love your advocacy. You know what you were talking about, and I know you know the answer to this, and it's dollars. And you know that in Missouri, we took a significant cut not too long ago. But what I'm really excited about is that at the grassroots level, at the program level, our districts and other organizations are starting to really get strength and figure out how to fund programs in a sustainable way. And so many of the organizations out there that are housing parents as teachers are looking at diversifying their funding. The dollars that come from the state are being matched by other dollars. But you're correct. It also requires leaders in these organizations and districts to advocate and to move forward the very important work of parent education.
We had an email from, or tweet, I should say, from Sarah, who just brought this subject up of funding. And she writes, you know the figures here, but so that the listeners will know, the funding for parents as teachers cut 50% in Missouri since 2009, she writes. Mm-hmm. Parents see the impact. What is the plan, Scott, going forward, given the significant cuts in funding?
Well, we have been doing what I think is a pretty remarkable job of advocacy with our programs from all across Missouri. And this past year, we did achieve a modest increase in parents as teachers funding. I think what that did was brought us up from a 60% reduction up to about a 50% reduction. So clearly, school districts are having a hard time supporting their parents as teachers' staff because the dollars coming from the state have been reduced significantly. So we continue to advocate, and what I would suggest to everyone is let your elected officials know how valuable and important parents as teachers is. We need to get the state funding back to some reasonable level so that school districts can afford to provide these services to as many, especially high needs families. And in your previous caller, you know, absolutely right. Parents as teachers used to be universal for every family. What we need to do is to make sure, and I'd love it for that to be universal again, but what we really need to do is to make sure that every family that really needs these services, families that have a variety of high needs, receive parent educators coming into their home and working with them from that very first day of birth.
Well, you know, I understand the state, as so many institutions do, have funding problems, no question about it. But kids seem to be getting the short end of the stick in Missouri, with your program being slashed as it has been, with Medicaid being cut as it has been, to the tune of 300,000 kids, I think, are affected by all of that. I mean, if people want to get involved, they're going to have to get active with their legislators, aren't they?
They are. And I think also, you know, there are many stories like Michelle's and the parents that she served who also could play a role in helping to diversify the fund development. And I do think there are advisory boards for every single one of these parents as teachers programs that parents could participate or grandparents could participate in now that are working in businesses that possibly benefited from it. And I think it has to be that swell. So it can't just be only work with legislators. It needs to be broad.
If people would like to get involved with you somehow and learn more about this, how can they do that, Scott?
I would say the best way to do that would be to go to our website. It's www.parentsasteachers.org. Make a connection with us. We welcome help and volunteers with advocacy. Every one of our school districts would welcome support from parents and other folks across Missouri to help support their programs. There are many, many opportunities for businesses to be involved with our programs for financial institutions to provide financial literacy information to parents. So we believe that parents as teachers is still a core value in Missouri, and the greater involvement we can have from our communities, the better parents will be.
We only have a little more than a minute left, and I did want to get this question in from Sarah, another tweet. Mm-hmm. How do you work with homeless and those who don't want visitors in their home?
Well, I can try to say it briefly. Parents as teachers, we call our visits personal visits because they can happen anywhere. They don't have to happen in a permanent home. So we have visits, and I've had a visit in a McDonald's play place before. You can have visits just about anywhere. So we do have very specific strategies around working with families in homeless settings. And the main thing is, no matter where your child lays his head, that there's a routine attached to that, so that those routines are the secure base for that family that's moving all over the place, and connection to resources. For families who do not want visitors in their home, we often start with groups, connecting them to people in a group setting, having them they may mistrust institutions, and rightly so, because and so we start with folks in groups, and we get some trust built before we visit them in their homes.
I'm sure folks can learn a lot more by going to your website. And I'll point out, by the way, we'll put a link to that website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Time is just about winding down. A 10-second final thought, Scott, before we say goodbye.
Tomorrow is Giving Day across the country, and we would welcome our listeners to go to our website and support parents as teachers. If you want to help, tomorrow's the day to do it.
All right. And again, we'll have a link to the website. I want to thank you, Scott Hibbert, for being with us, President and CEO of Parents as Teachers. Don Hunt O'Brien, also with us, Director of Training, Curriculum, and Program Innovations with Parents as Teachers. Thanks for spending some time with us. Good luck with the organization. Let's get that funding back, right?
That's right. Thank you, Don.
Thank you so much. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about Springboard's contribution to education in the region, using the arts, sciences, and humanities to develop critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, and communication skills to children. We'll also take a look at St. Louis Public Radio's new Curious Lewis project. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.